So we got the point, obviously, right? That we're not to be afraid to worship God, and if sometimes God calls us to worship Him, leads our heart to worship Him, just because we're excited about our relationship with Jesus and we demonstrate that in a way that doesn't necessarily look that dignified, oh well. I never looked dignified dancing, believe me, in college or high school or anything like that. I want to just open up in a word of prayer, okay? Father, just thank you for this morning. Thank you for each of the kids that were willing to come up. And Father, like I said, even those that were embarrassed to dance, that was perfect. It was okay because it just illustrated that some need to not worry about that. We need to just be willing to just stand up for the Lord and praise you no matter where we're at and no matter how we do it, that we do it in a way that's pleasing to you. I pray you bless this message. I pray you encourage us and just help us to our hearts to be receptive to you, our hearts to be open to what you have for us, and that we would hear you and recognize you, dear Holy Spirit, doing your work in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, you kids did better than the adults would have. I tell you what, if I asked the adults all to come up here and put a shirt on and dance, what would you think would have happened? You'd all fall over. All right. There's a country singer named John Michael Montgomery. He sings a song called Life's a Dance. And the chorus of that song goes like this. Life's a dance when you learn as you go. Sometimes you lead, sometimes you follow. Don't worry about what you don't know. Life's a dance, you learn as you go. And you know, I know the box step, and I know a few dance moves and things like that, but believe me, I've stepped on my wife's toes a few times when we were on the dance floor and doing a little box step with her or just doing a little quick dancing with her or whatever. It's kind of like you dance with caution with me. That type of a thing. And so you have to learn. The point of the message is that there's a, in a sense, a dance. And what is it? What's happening when we're dancing? We're connecting in relationship to the message. We're connecting with the partner that's been assigned to us or that we have with us as we dance. So we're paying attention to their moves so we don't step on them. We're paying attention to what we need to do so we can have fun doing the dancing, that type of a thing. And so the correlation here to the scripture is that God wants us to be intimate with Him enough to follow His steps like a dance going through life. God wants us to be intimate enough with God that we are following His steps as if going, dancing through life, okay? We need with Him. And so we need to remember that we're called to follow His steps. We know the old poem, two footprints walking on the seashore, all of a sudden one set of prints were gone, and that the reason was because God picked you up and carried you. But this picture is that not that He's carrying us, but that He's leading us, and we're paying attention to His leading, and we're putting our feet in the steps that He places in front of us, and we're willing to follow Him as He leads us. And so each person's life may have a different dance. You've heard the illustration before, okay? Everybody follows the beat of a different drummer. We should always be following the beat of the Lord and how He guides us in our own unique lives. But we also are to follow His steps clearly. It's the same thing. Christians need to live their dance with the Lord of the dance as their focus. God is leading us. He's the Lord of the dance. And I know what you're thinking, guys. I don't dance. I don't get this. This is kind of cheesy. But in reality, following the Lord, keeping our feet in step with Jesus is the focus of being in that life dance with Jesus. And a life dance or a dance should be fun and fulfilling and exciting and expressive of praise to God. And Psalm 90, verse 2, it talks about that we are to number, verse 12, we're to number our days. So teach us to remember our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You know, numbering our days means take each day as being valuable, that God is giving you the gift of another day. Go back to that verse, please. And that we're to gain a heart of wisdom. So as we yield to the Lord, keep in step with the Lord, follow the Lord, you know, things sometimes might go slow and things might go very fast, but keep in step with Jesus because our days are numbered. Our days are to be lived fully for the Lord. So dance before the music stops. You know, there might be an interlude of the break in music between leaving this world and going to our place in heaven as citizens of heaven. I don't know. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't know if there's music there, but I know the Lord's walking us through it, like we talked about last week. And so we need to recognize how few our days are. Most of the time, people don't recognize how few their days are. They might know it intellectually. But when you face death and mortality, you rethink priorities. You value what it means to have life and that God has given it to you. I think much more than those that have not experienced the threat of actually dying and being in that situation that you were delivered from. So recognizing the brevity of life should make us all realize that we need to live passionately for God. You know, I used to have a friend of mine in high school. I'd say, "Mark, why do you dance like this?" He'd say, he thought it was cool, but he also didn't want to do anything else. So that was, I said, okay, whatever. But I was out there doing the bump and doing this and, you know, Miami, you know, chains and silk shirts and platform shoes and all that that country folk out here don't know about. Okay? It was a fun time. And that was a short period of my life. So we need to live passionately for God. King David did not worry about what people thought. So look at 2 Samuel 6:14 and 21 through 22. It says, "Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod." So we're talking about that t-shirt, but it really was his undergarments, his underclothes. It was a long t-shirt that was up against the flesh of his skin. And he was dancing in the street, and the ark was being carried from a location nearby, a few miles away, and being entered into the city of Israel as a statement of God's presence is being placed here. The Ark of the Covenant, the dwelling place, the seat of God is being placed here. God is with us. And it was a great celebratory time. But David decided that what was important to him was not to gain any credit for himself as the king, because, you know, he could have danced with all the royal pomp and maybe not dance, but the dignity and walk down in front of the ark and all this stuff. He said, "I don't want any credit going to me. I want to divest myself of anything that acknowledges me as anything special. And I want all my attention and all the attention to be focused on God as represented by the ark being carried into Israel." And so he disrobed down to that undershirt, and then he just danced. Well, his wife, Michal, was not a happy person at all, because he embarrassed her. Because you're the king, and you are embarrassing. And so it's kind of like us kids looking at our parents doing goofy things in public and going, "Mom, Mom," you know, or, you know, "Dad, I can't believe you did that," or whatever. Or as adults, we're thinking, we're grown up and dignified now. We're not going to do anything like that. It's okay for kids to do that, right? And so, but David said, "I don't care. I'm stirred in my heart. I'm stirred with passion to dance before the ark and usher it into into Israel and to declare the glory of God." And so David danced before the Lord with all his might. He was passionate. And David was wearing that linen ephod, okay? And so we can praise God for that. Look at verses 21 and 22. "So David said to Michal," that's his wife, "it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of Israel, over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord. And I will be even more," look at that word, "undignified." Some of the Hebrew translation is vile or shameful. You know, "I would be more undignified than this." You think this is bad, honey? "I can get more undignified if you want." That's what he's saying. "So I will be even more undignified than this and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." She was worried what the maidservants were thinking about him, and he said, no, they're honoring me because I'm honoring God. I know it. You're not doing it, but they are. But here's something that I want us to walk away with today. Expression of praise and worship to God, whatever that form is, we should not be embarrassed about. We should be humble about it. We should be using it to bring honor and glory to God. We should never be in church where we're lifting our hands so that everybody can hear us lifting our hands. You know, I first came here to this church, not to knock the church, but I'm just saying the tradition of how they worshiped was very, 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 very dignified. Just sitting in their pew like this. And that's okay. You're taking it in. And to break out of that and to say you can lift your hands is okay. And over the years, we've seen more people lift their hands in church and worship God, but only because you feel led to. And so it's kind of a thought, okay, I don't want to be embarrassed, but it's not about that. It's about me worshiping God. It's not about me getting attention or making myself look more spiritual than other people. It's about me lifting up God and glorifying Him and worshiping Him as my heart and as my spirit is stirred to do so. And so we can see a correlation here, can't we? That, you know, I don't feel dignified doing this, but I feel compelled to do so. So if you're compelled to do so, but you're afraid to do so because you don't feel dignified in doing so, but you want to, what should we do? Do it anyways. Don't worry about it. Praise the Lord and honor Him. So we need to dance to honor the Lord, right? Two, we need to dance with all our heart. Okay, this starts by loving God completely. In Matthew 22, 37 through 39, it says, Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. It's also in other places in the Bible, in Deuteronomy 6, 2 through 4, is the Shema in Hebrew. You know, and it meant, you know, love the Lord your God. Love your Lord your God alone. He is one. He is solid. He is God Almighty. Love Him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might or strength. That's a form of worship. So when David was out there dancing in front of the ark, he was dancing not only passionately, but with all of his soul. He wasn't focused on what was going on around him. He was focused on God. He wasn't concerned about the disgrace that Michael was declaring about her husband disrobing that way and dancing out in public that way. He wasn't worried about that. He was saying, I took these king robes off of me so that the attention wouldn't be on me as a king over Israel, but that the attention would be on God, who is God of Israel and God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords in all things. And so we're to dance with all of our heart before the Lord. We're never to wait to act in love, never to wait to give. So to give praise to God, to give honor to God. You've heard me express this before, and I want to encourage you. Hey, guys, it's not shameful to do this either, because I know the stature of guys, you know, I'm a guy, it's just not going to happen. But you know what? If your heart is stirred to worship God or to praise Him, what was my testimony about that? You know, I'm having a rough day. I'm mad at God. I'm frustrated about this or that. I'm really just kind of bummed out and doing whatever I'm doing inside my heart. It's starting to stir a certain little song or a hymn or some sort of chorus or something, and I'm resisting it, and I'm saying, I don't want to sing, Lord. I don't want to sing, Lord. And the spirits go, oh, come on. Come on. Sing. And then all of a sudden, I find myself yielding and humming to the Lord. And so in doing that, my soul was being lifted up. God, the Holy Spirit, was trying to lift up our soul. So there are times when God wants us to sing out to Him, wants us, you know, I'm going to have to be real humble to dance in the street, you know, because that would be embarrassing. But David did it. What a heart of David. So dance no matter what. That's twofold. One, the physical dance of just being happy in the Lord. Two is spiritually keeping in step with God. Following the pattern, the dance style, or the path that God has for you to dance. Do you understand the correlation there? That each person has his own path, but and we think about that and where their path goes from where they're born to the end of life and all that's happened in between. But like the footprints in the sand of the seashore, and we've seen that picture and we've seen that illustration, that what would it mean to us to see the footprints and all the, you know, the box step, you know, or and you're going forward, you're going up, you know, and then you go, you know, and you just keep going along. And you see the different pattern of these dances and footprints along the shore all over. That would indicate that there's a uniqueness to the path and the pattern in which God would have us to walk or to dance with him and sync with him, loving him. And so it's twofold, and we need to remember that. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." David was showing a picture of humility before God and following the will of God and praising God in the process. Jesus, as he walked the face of the earth, he had his own path to go, but if you will, he had his own dance with the Father. He said, "No, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I will not do anything else. I only follow what the Father tells me to follow. I only do what the Father tells me to do." So he's telling us that he was keeping an absolute step with the Father. And that was his joy. And that was his joy. But think about it. Jesus is God in the flesh. Something we can't comprehend. But he humbled himself to the point of being not just a man. He didn't come in pomp. He didn't come in royalty. He wasn't a recognized king like David was. He came born in that manger. He came of a very low estate, a very humble life, very poor. He divested himself of his glory. You see the picture? David divested himself of the glory of being a king for the sake of honoring the Father. Jesus divested himself of being God as becoming a man in the flesh, 100% man, 100% God, for the sake of bringing glory to the Father. And so he had his pattern, his steps, his dance with the Father, if you will, because there was a joy in Jesus' heart, just as it ought to be a joy in your heart and my heart to follow Jesus, that may cause us to have that little extra step in our walk as we dance a dance of life with the Lord, following in his steps. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, it says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What was that? Humility. It was not about himself. It wasn't the time to be honored. It wasn't the time to be recognized for who he was. It was the time to be humble, stripped of who he was, and that faithful servant of God following him. That's what David did. That's what Jesus did. And that's what you and I are called to do. "So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." And so he didn't declare who he was in that sense. He wasn't there to accomplish his own glory and honor. He was there to honor the Father. Jesus' humbleness led him to the cross. What if you're following in that footstep and that dance with God, so to speak, and God leads us to a place we don't want to be? God leads us to a place that requires us divesting our pride and being humble in that situation and being what God wants us to be. We might step back from the steps because of pride, our image. But God says, I don't want you to care about your image. I want you to care about following me. And so Jesus, again, his humbleness led him to the cross. He danced his life with passion to the point of death. He knew where his dance was ending up, at the cross, yet he did it. Where our dance will take us, we do not know. Do you get that? Where God leads us, however the path is, however specific the dance is with God, that intimacy with God, that focus on God, that clear identification with his steps and following his steps will lead us to our own destination in Christ. And God will use it to glorify him. So we don't know where the end of our life will take us. We just need to let the Lord of the dance take the lead. And we say, that's something simple, isn't it? We've all heard, follow Jesus. But we need to let him take the lead, no matter how the lead takes us. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for the patience of the kids with their pastor and leading them to stand up front and to dance or not dance, but to be vessels that you use to emphasize, Father, the need to be joyful in the Lord and the understanding of how difficult it might be to express that. And I know that they love the Lord, and I know we as adults love the Lord as Christians. Evidence of that is how we live for the Lord, how we follow the dance steps, how we focus on exactly how he wants us to live each day. And that as we follow him, Father, as we follow you, you will show us the uniqueness of our own life and the pattern that you have designed for us to reach the destiny that you want us to reach, to accomplish the things in and through you that bring you honor and glory through our lives, because we're keeping in step with you. And I pray you help us to do that. Help us to rejoice in you and be free about that rejoicing. Let us not be proud, but let us be humble servants of you, giving you honor and praise as you, dear Holy Spirit, prompt our hearts to do so. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, Amen.